Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I hope everybody had a very happy new year. I enjoyed all the emails actually that I got on the back end of that weekend show to kick off the new year. And boy, oh boy, first full trading day of the new year. And we already have a lot to talk about. I am chatting with Ed Moya. He's the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Ed, let's start off with U.S. equity markets because they are falling quite quickly today. The S&P, Dow, those are all down, and the NASDAQ, those are all down over 2% and have, in a way, almost been in free fall throughout the whole trading day. They all opened up pretty much flat and just have garnered a sell throughout the day. Russell, the small caps are also down about 1.5%. As we turn the corner into the new year, Ed, is this simply just some traders unwinding a lot of their bullish positions because of the fact that at the tail end of the year, you could make the argument that traders were positioning themselves to show that they were invested in the markets, and now we're just seeing, in a way, natural unwind of this when you do consider that this is what looks like the worst day for the U.S. equity markets in at least a couple months?
Yeah, very, very much so, Corey. I think, and Happy New Year. I wanted to point out too, like this morning, it's truly a fascinating start to the year. I mean, there was so much optimism in the earlier part, especially during the European session, or at least European Open. There's a lot of, you know, optimism that, okay, we got, you know, vaccine plans that are slowly rolling out, and that, you know, you're going to see that the Trump administration is going to do, you know, everything in their power to, you know, get more vaccines out there. And I think you're hearing health experts debate, you know, whether they're going to have to have the doses. You know, will J&J's get the nod in the next couple of weeks? You know, we're going to probably see that one of the biggest problems with the current strategy is that you're not able to massively have the population access these vaccinations. So I think there's expectations that you're going to see that you're going to have the ability soon to go to your local CVS, Duane Reed, or Walgreens to go ahead and get vaccinated. But I think what we're seeing is there is a tremendous amount of risk events to start this year. And a lot of that, is, I think, first and foremost, it's still about the holiday COVID spike. And I think for many macro traders, they're just focused on Georgia. I think the Senate races are key. I think you're going to see that the polls were tight. The early voting was strong. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of positive signs that you could see a Democratic surprise. And I think that, you know, if the Democrats win both Senate races, I think you're going to see that a Biden administration will be able to go wild on their policy agenda. And that's terrible news for the FANG stocks. I think that's why they're kind of leading the decline. And in addition to, you know, the Georgia races, we also have an OPEC Plus meeting, which you're starting to see those tensions increase. I think overall, most of the countries, they're opposing the February oil output increase, but you're seeing the Russians, Kazakhstan, they're in favor of raising production. So I think you're going to probably see that it's just a combination of different reasons to be a little bit cautious to start the new year. And that's why I think you also have some exhaustion as far as, you know, that, you know, the stimulus checks, you know, have hit most people's bank accounts, and that is likely to be the next big driver. You know, how much stimulus will the Biden administration be able to do fiscally? And that's probably why there's a lot of question marks as far as, well, what's going to be the next big catalyst? There's healthy M&A news this morning, but I think you're going to see that after you've had such a strong run up, you know, we were, you know, finished the year practically at record highs for most of the indices, major indices, you're going to, in the US, you're going to probably see that it might be time to take off some risk. And I think that you're probably going to see investors just be a little bit cautious until we get that Georgia outcome.
Okay, so a couple near-term events that we can all keep an eye on. But even after, say, that Georgia outcome, whichever way it goes, how important do you think it is for the S&P or any of the broad averages to bounce back, for this to, say, not be a prolonged pullback? I understand people might be naturally just pulling some money off the table, but if this weakness remains for a week or even 2 weeks to kick off the year, how much does that carry over into fund managers and money managers' strategies for the rest of the year?
I still think that investors are, I think the, you know, fund managers are still going to be, you know, relatively bullish for U.S. equities. I just think this will, you know, determine whether or not we have a cyclical rotation trade. If the Democrats pull off the upset, I think you're going to see, and win both seats, there might be a slight tweaking, a little bit of a downgrade of end of year targets. In order for, you know, stocks to really gain, whether you're in the 4% or 20% camp, you need to see big tech climb higher. And I think that a difficult tax environment, harder regulations will really, I think, thwart, you know, some of that outperform calls on big tech. And that would be a little bit of a headwind, I think. But then you see cyclicals really outperform, you know, we'll have more infrastructure spending. So I think, you know, regardless of the outcome, people are going to be trying to buy whatever dip we do see. It's just a matter of, we don't know exactly, you know, you can't really start to say, oh, we get a dip, you know, I can buy Apple now, buy more later. Or, you know, you can really see Apple have a big tumble if the Democrats, I think, you know, win both seats. And you're going to see probably, you know, people want to just resort to cash right now and then just, you know, quickly, you know, ramp up once we get past that risk event. So I think it's short-term pain, but, you know, you really don't know exactly which way it's going to go.
Yeah, well, again, a lot of uncertainty, but one thing that is interesting, too, is seeing the VIX, too. The VIX is skyrocketing higher, almost at the 28 region, and it really hasn't been at this level except for one quick spike until the beginning of November. So it is showing a pretty quick move to at least some uneasiness. You look at some of the other markets like gold. Gold is really benefiting from this, let's call it a bit more of a risk-off trade, as on the futures market, gold is up almost $50, trading about $19.44. On the spot market, gold is up about $35. Ed, is this providing that boost at the very beginning of the year for gold to run higher, maybe test out that 2000 level sooner rather than later?
I think so. I think that, you know, there's a lot of things going right for gold. And, you know, the weaker dollar trade is likely to remain in place for the first half of the year. I think what we're also noticing, and this is a big part for, I think, the longer term bullish outlook for gold, is that the reflation trade is firmly intact. I think that you're going to see that when you look at 10-year break-even rates, you know, today they tested 2% for the, you know, first time in a couple of years. I think that is huge. I think that's going to, you know, obviously the Fed has made it clear, you know, interest rates are not going anywhere anytime soon, and that they're going to allow inflation to overshoot their target of 2%. So I think you're going to probably see that there's a big, I think, longer term component belief that, you know, as inflation slowly creeps back in, you know, gold is going to probably see a lot of more demand on that trade, I think, from money managers. And it provides gold a safety net. You know, I think there was a big expectation that, you know, you're going to have, you know, the herd immunity rates, vaccines are going to be successful, and then, you know, you're going to have no reason to have safe haven demand. But the reflation trade is going to be key, and I think you're finally starting to see a lot of people are kind of starting to believe in that and start to, you know, return to their, you know, longer term bets. I think that, you know, gold, you know, it's I think last month was an important month for gold to show prices stabilize and finally provide some optimism that, you know, the pain is over. Because for the most part, it was a tough few months for gold. And I think right now you're probably going to see that, you know, the trajectory of the dollar, Fed policy, and rising, you know, concerns about inflation are just going to do wonders for gold. So I think, you know, 2000, you know, in the short term is not, you know, I think, you know, a landish call. And I think, you know, eventually, you know, record high territory should not be a difficult thing to reach if the economic recovery unfolds as many are hoping.
Yeah, one thing to consider about this gold move, too, is that gold looks like it put in a pretty strong bottom a little over a month ago at the tail end of November, down at 1767. And boy, oh boy, it's bounced back very quickly and is now already testing or coming close to testing this 1966 level, which I think is near-term resistance. We'll see how it fares there. But Ed, what about the environment here too, where the U.S. dollar, it's been weak, and that's been helping the precious metals at least rebound at the tail end of the year. But even today, the U.S. dollar was looking weak, but has since turned around. It's actually up for the day, just marginally, but still up, and that's not carrying over to anything for gold. So what are some of the other markets that you might look at for gold to judge if this recovery, if this bounce is going to continue?
And I think that for gold, and I think, you know, gold and the dollar, you can't talk about one without the other, it seems. I think right now what you're seeing is that, you know, the dollar, you know, it's paring its losses. And I think a lot of that is that in this very short-term outlook, it looks like we're going to have tougher coronavirus restrictions. I think that there's a big amount of caution that's really, I think, hitting markets. I think, you know, you're seeing globally, and it includes Asia too, that, you know, restrictive measures are still going to be the theme of January. And I think that's why you're probably going to have overall that the gold market and currency traders are going to, you know, look to see exactly how bad is this holiday spike going to be. I think that you really can't notice that the U.S. has disappointed in their vaccine rollout. You know, we were supposed to get 20 million done by the end of December, and, you know, we fell well short of that. I think, you know, you're seeing some countries like Israel, they're, you know, looking nicely poised to reach herd immunity by April. And in the U.S., you know, I think that outlook has been, it seems like it keeps getting pushed back from the fall to mid-fall to possibly, I think, later in the year. And I think there's a big amount of, I think, over weakness that has already priced in for the dollar. And I think that what you're going to see is, with currency trades, you know, once you have, you know, the money managers and the retail trader kind of already jump on one side of a trade, that's when you have a big pullback. So I think that the dollar variance losses was, you know, something that was likely to happen because of just the overpositioning. But I think that that's still going to remain the theme for the first half of the year. And until we see the Fed be in a position where they have to provide their scenarios on, you know, this lower interest rates for longer, have to tweak that language and kind of show exactly when they're going to be tightening the screws. I think you're going to see that's going to be the big risk for the dollar, and that's not for some time.
Okay. Final comment. We do need to touch on Bitcoin. I feel like Bitcoin, well, we almost need to touch on it day after day because boy, oh boy, is it ever volatile. Currently trading about 31,000, which you would think is a pretty good level, but some of the moves that happened over the weekend and even over the last couple of weeks, it's just been volatile. And Bitcoin is actually down today, down about $1,600. But man, oh man, it was down much, much more today. So the volatility in Bitcoin still here, but Bitcoin is still arguably on an uptrend. So what do you think here, Ed? Where's Bitcoin going?
Well, I think the wild ride is going to continue. And I think what we saw in December, and I apologize, but I kept saying institutional interest was growing. I think it was a broken record for much of December. And what we also saw was, you know, hedge fund interest was also growing. And with hedge fund trading, you get volatility in both directions. And I think that the New Year's brought that break of 30,000, and it almost, you know, skyrocketed all the way to 35,000. And I think in just a matter of 24 hours, we saw Bitcoin just fall a couple hundred dollars shy of falling to bear market territory. A 20% drop is nothing to blink at. And right now, I think that you know that there were a lot of people that saw that over the weekend. You know, you had that break above 30,000, and that was, you know, the tipping point for many people. I think the standard call, you know, after you break 30,000, you know, I think the consensus on Wall Street, you were getting so many analysts saying 50,000. Well, because you can't do 40, because 40 is just, seems like it's too close, and 50 seem reasonable. And I think things, it just got out of hand. I think that you had the momentum keep it going until the middle of the weekend, and then all of a sudden it kind of popped a little bit. And that's the thing you're going to see with Bitcoin. It's just I've been closely following it since 2014, and this is, you know, to be expected, these wild moves. But I think the volatility is only going to go up as you have hedge funds in here. I listened to interviews from PayPal's CEO, just, you know, obviously talking about the growing use and acceptance of Bitcoin and other cryptos. And while, yes, that's true, you know, there's a finite supply of Bitcoin, and as hedge funds become a little bit more interested in this, you're going to continue to see these wild moves. So it's probably going to be the exciting trade to talk about, but, you know, probably just too volatile for the you know, regular retail investor, because what you normally see with Bitcoin is that these big moves, you know, $5,000 swings, now you might be able, $4,000 swings, you might be able to see in just the matter of hours. If you're asleep, you know, that could be, you know, something terrible to wake up to.
Fair, unless that $4,000 is on the upside.
Yeah.
It's, man, it's just been a crazy market for Bitcoin. The volatility is back, and it's exciting to watch. But you are right, it's tough for some traders, some investors to stomach this type of volatility. But gives us something to talk about on a day-to-day basis. But boy, oh boy, very interesting start to 2021 for the markets. Ed, great chatting with you, buddy. Appreciate your comments. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will chat again next week.
Sounds great, Corey. Thank you.